Surrounding and city and states, and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. You'll be able to ask your questions, give your comments, and especially at the end of the broadcast, answer our question of the day. However, right now, we want to open with a word of prayer, get this program started off with the right foot. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the many countries that are listening in. We know that, Lord Jesus, with that many countries, in your word, it says, where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. And, Lord Jesus, we ask you to be in our midst tonight and take control of this here program. Take the wheel, Lord Jesus. We ask you to have your will and your way, Lord Jesus, especially for that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag and surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word says, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them in a special way. First off, for the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you to comfort them with your Holy Spirit as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those going through COVID-19 right now as we speak, we ask you to heal them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the situations like the George Floyd incident, Lord Jesus, and many other wicked situations just like, Lord Jesus, that we read about in our newspapers, see on the television set, or hear on the radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, you help us to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor, who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and wonderful and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of. Then we're going to see who was with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast. So let's take care of these preliminary announcements as we get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Challenger. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Ruth. I don't know what's going on with me, but I just so down, all I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Ruthie, I wish you really knew what you could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday.
Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering.
Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't laugh at me.
Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
It's not because God loved us, it's because we refuse to heed the mighty
Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show. It's where you get Bible college on the air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Is U Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2, F-O-R, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's
sure.
Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com. That's paypal.com. And in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are ready. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you. Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us this afternoon?
Well, we always got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Emily, and me.
All right. Well, Sister Emily.
Uh-huh.
How's it hanging tonight?
Other than getting attacked by kitty cats, I'm doing okay.
All righty. Well, let me, before we get your prayer request. Okay, before we get into your prayer request and that kind of thing, let us give an outline of where we're going tonight so that everybody has an idea. We are going into our study yet of David. This is part 18. And then after we get done with in the middle of David part 18, as we've been doing this study, ongoing, we are seeing if Pastor Bonnet can beat Six's record of 20 for 26. Will Pastor Bonnet do it? He so far looks like he's going to give Six a run for his money. He's been doing very good. He's been on a roll with the good buzzer. Will he continue that tonight with the good buzzer, or will he get the bad buzzer? If he gets a bad buzzer, he may choose to either pray for it or use sound effects that may affect those with PTSD. So just be aware of that. Then after we're done with our study of David, Ruth is going to take us into Bible prophecy. And Ruth, where are you taking us tonight?
I'm going to do 10 toes, 10 horns.
Ah, so are you going to be talking about me then tonight, about my 10 horns, because I'm the kind of like a devil, an angel with the horns hidden in my halo, huh?
Not quite, sweetheart. This is a prophecy, and it's something to do with you, cuter.
Oh, so she's going to be telling on me tonight how I got, because I want that burger, that Emily won't get me at Burger King, that I've got the 10 horns. Okay, so now we know. We'll find out tonight about these 10 toes, 10 horns. I know I got 10 toes. But now she's going to tell on me about my 10 horns. Okay. So we now know that I'm going to be told on tonight. Okay.
buckets of silly.
So everybody knows that I'm going to get told on tonight. We'll find out all about the 10 toes, 10 horns tonight, what that's about. And then after that, of course, we have our question of the day, neither a wrong nor right answer, but it's based upon you and your own opinion, because we've got questions that have been related to David and King Saul and that time frame of what we've been studying. And then after that, we have a closing prayer, and then, of course, we end with our Red Soul Vine song. Okay. Now, Emily, we're going to start with you. Any kind of prayer requests or comments or anything maybe that you've been hearing on the Friday night show that you might have noticed that might have interested you?
Just one prayer request that my daughter brought to my attention. It was for her old elementary school bus driver that is in stage 3 cancer, colon cancer, and she's in hospice.
Okay. All right. And then
just my other usual ones.
Okay. And just as a curiosity, Emily, any particular part of this study has been got your interest yet?
I'm basically going to have to go back on the podcast thingy and listen to it again.
Oh, okay. And, all right, speaking of which, in a little bit here, I'll be asking you about the Android information again, so be just ready for that very shortly, okay? And
oh, okay. No problem.
And then, okay, Ruthie, any requests for you?
Yeah, I got unspoken, and also I'm praying that Tim will find a person that can witness to Orlie. I don't really feel qualified to do this because I don't know much about witnessing to Jewish people, but I could still be, you know, praying about it, about her soul.
Okay. Well, everybody knows my request, and so is everybody ready for a good show tonight?
Hey, Ken.
Yeah?
Just a few minutes ago, the bottom of my screen dropped down. Came from my daughter, be praying for Papaw because Papaw's in the ER.
Okay, we'll do that. So is everybody ready for a good show?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, well, with that, because there will be a lot of notes tonight, if you have a quick note, vocal note, brailler, slate and stylus, pen, pencil, paper, what have you, whatever you take with notes, you could take your notes. But if you aren't fast enough to keep up with us, you can take and go in the podcast section of your phone, and you could type in Six Eyes Radio, SIXEYES, space radio, RADIO, for you smartphone or tablet. And when it pops in, you type that into your search bar, and you hit enter on that, will pop up there, and then what you do is you hit subscribe. Now, Emily, here's where you come in. For you Android users, there's a special app you go to first, and that is?
For the Android users, you go into your Play Store. You go to iHeart Radio app. You download that, you go into the search bar on that app, then you type in SIXEYES, space radio, RADIO, and we will pop right up there for you.
Okay, so there you heard it. Now you heard the app that you use for Android. It'd make it a lot easier And you could get, of course, this episode and all other episodes right here from the Six Eyes Radio Network. And you'll have, then you could take all the notes you need, go be able to go back over to the show as many times as you need. You'll have all our shows right there on demand 24/7, and you'll be able to enjoy. So with that said, let's get into our show tonight and get out your note takers. Here we go.
For those of you called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of the broadcast. You'll be able to ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. In the lives of David and King Saul, other than David or King Saul, which person stands out least in your mind? In the lives of David and King Saul, other than David or King Saul, which person stands out least in your mind? But right now we're going to get into our study of David. This is part 18, and our first scripture context is found in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 32. 2 Samuel 2, verses 1 to 32. All right, Emily, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go up." And David said, "Whither shall I go up?" And he said unto Hebron. So David went up thither, and his two wives also. Anan the Jezreelites and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite, and his men that were with him did David bring up every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron, and the men of Judah came, and they were anointed David king over the house of Judah, and they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh Gilead, and said unto them, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have shewed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness, because ye have done this thing. Therefore, now let your hands be strengthened, and be valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. But Abner, son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim, and made him king of Gilead, and over the Asherites, and over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all Israel. Ish-bosheth
Saul's son was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel and reigned 2 years. But the house of Judah followed David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. And Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbosheth, and the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon, and Joab, the son of Zariah, and the servants of David went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon, and they sat down, the one on the other side of the pool, and the other on the other side of the pool. And Abner said to Joab, "Let the young men now rise and play before us." And Joab said, "Let them arise." Then there arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David, and they caught everyone, his fellow, by the head, and thrust his sword in his fellow's side. So they fell down together, wherefore that place was called Helkazar, which is in Gibeon. And there was very sore, and there was a very sore battle that day. And Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel before the servants of David. And there were 3 sons of Zariah there, Joab and Zariah, and Zariah there, Joab and Abishai and Asahel. And Asahel was as light as a wild rose. And Asahel pursued Abner and in going he turned not to the right hand nor to the left hand, following Abner. There Abner behind him and said, "Art thou Asahel?" And he answered, "I am." And Abner said unto him, "Turn thee aside to thy right hand or to thy left, and lay these hold on one of the young men, and take these his armor." And Asahel would not turn aside and follow of him. And Abner said again, "Asahel, turn thee aside from me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab, thy brother? Howbeit, He refused to turn aside. Wherefore, Abner, with the hinder end of the spear, smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died stood still. Joab and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down when they were come to the hill of Amma that lieth before Gaia by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. And the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together after Abner and became one troop and stood on the top of a hill. Then Abner called to Joab and said, "Shall the sword devour forever? Knowest thou not that it will be bitterness in latter end? How long shall it be then, ere thou bid the people return from following their brethren?" And Joab said, "As God liveth, unless thou hadst spoken, surely then in the morning the people had gone up, every one from following his brother." So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and pursued after Israel no more. Neither fought they anymore. And Abner and his men walked all that night through the plain and passed over Jordan and went through all Bethlehem, and they came to Mahanaim. And Joab returned from following Abner. And when he had gathered all the people together, there lacked of David's servants 19 men of Asahel. But the servants of David had smitten Benjamin and of Abner's men, so that 70 men died. And they took up Asahel and buried him in this sepulchre of his father, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at break of day.
And so, we find some good information here. Lots of information, but it's basically about a battle that took place between David's men and Abner's men. So let us get into it and learn all we can tonight about what exactly happened. And our first context is found in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. All right, Emily, take us there.
And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, Whither shall I go up? And he said unto Hebron. So David went up thither, and his two wives also. His two wives also, Hanan, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite, and his men that were with him did David bring up every man with his household. And they dwelt in the cities of Hebron, and the men of Judah came, and they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead, where they had buried Saul. And David sent messages unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead, and said unto them, blessed be ye of the Lord, and ye have showed this kindness unto the Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord shew kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness because ye have done this thing. Therefore, not let your hands be strengthened and be valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them.
All right, what we find first here is, of course, David now, having been found out that Saul had taken and died, and now he takes and he asks God, should he basically stay where he was in Ziklag, or should he go up to one of the cities in Israel? And God says, go. And he says, where should I go? He says, to Hebron. So he goes with his men, and he tells these guys at Jabesh-Gilead, thank you very much for seeing to Saul's body, because they did him a kindness by burying him. And so that's what we find here. All right, and our next scripture context is found in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. All right, Emily, take us there.
But Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim, and made him king over Gilead, and over the Asherites, and over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all Israel. Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and reigned 2 years. But the house of Judah followed David. And the time that David was king, inherit Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months.
And so here we find that Ish-bosheth, he was made king over Judah, over these other areas, but yet David was made king over Hebron and stuff, and they made him king, but this other guy, Ish-bosheth, was only king for 2 years. Kind of a short kingdom. Interesting. But that's because of God's plan. Amen. All right, and our next scripture context is found in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. All right, Emily, take us there.
And Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, went from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and the servants of David went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon. And they sat down, the one on one side of the pool, and the other on the other side of the pool. And Abner said to Joab, "Let the young men now arise and play before us." And Joab said, "Let them arise." Then there arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And they caught everyone, his fellow, by the head, and thrust his sword in his fellow's side. So they fell down together. Wherefore, that place was called Helkath Hadron, which is in Gibeon. And there was a sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel before the servants of David.
And so now we find this battle, this, they called it getting up to play, kind of strange way to play, where 12 men each get up and they grab their swords or spears, and they grab each other by the head, and they thrust their sword in the other guy's side. Strange way to be playing, don't you think? But they did. They called that playing. Well, if that's what you call playing, I don't want to join, okay? I don't think I want to play. I'll sit that game out. Amen. All right, but before we now wrap up this half of the show and do a wrap-up and a rerun of this half of the show, we're going to tell you where Pastor Bonnet has been, and he has been 11 for 13, and he has 5 good buzzers in a row. Will he make it 12 for 14 and 6 good buzzers in a row, or will he remain 11 for 14 and 1 bad buzzer in a row? We'll soon find out after we do this wrap-up for this half of the show, which is found in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 17. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 17. All right, Emily, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up into any of these cities of Judah?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go up." And David said, "Whither shall I go?" And he said unto Hebron, so David went up thither, and his two wives. So David went up thither, his two wives also. Anahim, the Jezreelites, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite, and his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household. And they dwelt in the cities of Hebron, and the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh Gilead were they that buried Saul, where they had buried Saul, And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, said unto them, blessed be ye of the Lord, and ye have showed this kindness unto the Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord shew kindness and truth unto you, and I also requite you this kindness, because ye have done this thing. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. But Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanim, and made him king over Gilead, and over the Asherites, and over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, all Israel. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and reigned 2 years. But the house of Judah followed David, and the time of David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. And Abner, son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and the servants of David went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon. And they sat down, the one on one side of the pool, and the other on the other side of the pool. And Abner said to Joab, let the young men now arise and play before us. And Joab said, let them arise. Then there arose and went over by number of 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ishbosheth, son of Saul, 12 of the servants of David. And they caught every one his fellow, by the head and thrust his sword in his fellow's side. So they fell down together, wherefore that place was called Helkath-Hazzurim, which is in Gibeon. And there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel before the servants of David.
Well, as I pointed out, that's one heck of a way to go around playing. I don't think I want to be part of that game. And Emily, I don't think you do either. Amen. So, right now, we're going to pause to hear if Pastor Bonnet could tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
If you see your brother stumble, reach out and help him stand. We should all work together, so near the promised land. Don't fall a plain girl in the hand. She was caught in the act of doing wrong. They all brought her to Jesus to be stoned. They were all pointy fingers, no one would lend a hand. Jesus, when his finger was there in the sand, he said, don't point a finger, lend a hand. If you see your brother stumble, reach out and help him stand. We should all work together, so near the promised land. Don't point a finger, lend a hand. This method has been tried and proven true, and today it can work for me and you. Jesus came to lend a hand and do some good. Oh, those upon the fingers, let his hand to the wood. So now don't pull the fingers, lend a hand. If you see your brother stumble, reach out and help him stand. We should all work together, so near the promised land. Don't pull a finger in the hand. I said, don't pull a finger in the hand. If you see your brother stumble, reach out and help him stand. We should all work together, so near the promised land. Don't hold a finger in the hand. We should all work together, strong in the promised land. Don't hold a finger. Don't hold a finger in the hand.
A meeting was held quite far from Earth. It's time again for another birth. To the angels, to the Lord above, this special child will need much love. His progress may be very slow, accomplishment he may not show, and he'll require extra care from the folks he meets down there. He may not run or laugh or play. His thoughts may seem quite far away. In many ways, he won't adapt, and he'll be known as handicapped. So let's be careful where he's sent. We want his life to be content. Please, Lord, find the parents who will do a special job for you. They will not realize right away the leading role they're asked to play. But with this child sent from above comes stronger faith and richer love. And soon they'll know the privilege give in caring for their gift from heaven. Their precious charge, so meek and mild, is heaven's very special child.
All right, Pastor Bonnet, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
All right. Well, that is a good challenge to me. And hopefully I can pass this particular test. I believe the common message here was Jesus said, think not that I've come to condemn the world, but I am sent world might be saved. So, like parents, they give guidance to their children. Christ has come to give guidance to us, like to the Father. So I think the message, maybe a common message would be found maybe somewhere like in John 3:17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So that's the pointing. That is direction. Like parents, good parents, they lead their children into good directions to do what's right. Christ has come to lead us back to the Father so that we can do what's right. So let's not point a finger. We're all in the same condition. It is the birth in Christ that has redeemed us all from condemnation. So I think that would be maybe the kind of common thought between the two, that the Christ was born to be our God, back to the Father. So we don't point a finger at one another. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. So that's kind of going to be my, without preaching a sermon, that's going to be my thought. I may not have worded exactly right, but I think that's kind of the common thing. Christ himself come that to redeem mankind back to the Father, so we don't point fingers at one another. Because all that's saying that comes short of the glory of God. I guess, like I said, in John 3:17, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, to point the finger, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the end of the hand. And Christ is the one that gives us the hand back to the Father.
Well, you thought you may have had it wrong, but actually you hit it right square, the nail between the eyeballs on that one. You got it right because that's what we were looking for. The song gave away the clue. You, Heaven's very special child, you don't want to point a finger at those who have an inconvenience. So the song gave it away. Don't point a finger. Lend a hand. And as Jesus said there, that he didn't come to condemn even those with an inconvenience. So you had that one right.
Wow. So it is John 3:17. Man, that's good. I'm glad I know that verse. I tell you, it's just nice to be nice, amen, knowing that we all have made mistakes, errors, and we all will make some more. But Christ come that we be not condemned, but that through him we might be saved. So thank God for Christ. Amen. Thank you for this challenge.
Amen. And now we're going to have a little challenge of hearing a few messages about our great station here at the Sixizer Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the Sixizer Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday,
take me to the key. I don't have much to free. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Take me to the key.
Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on The Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't laugh at me.
Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
It's not because God left us, it's because we refuse to heed the
College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible college on the air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. We're back and want to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of the broadcast, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. In the lives of David and King Saul, other than David or King Saul, what person stands out least in your mind? In the lives of David and King Saul, other than David or King Saul, what person stands out least in your mind? But right now, we're going to get back into our study of David, this part 18. And our next scripture context is found in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 to 23. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 to 23. All right, Emily, take us there.
And there arose, and there were three sons, Zariah, there Joab, and Abishai, and Asahel, and Asahel was as light as light of foot as a wild rose. And Asahel pursued after Abner, and in going he turned not to the right nor to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, "Art thou Asahel?" And he answered, "I am." And Abner said unto him, "Turn thee aside to the right hand or to the left hand, and lay thee hold on one of the young men, and take thee hold on one of the young men, and take thee his armor." But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. And Abner said again to Asahel, "Turn thee aside from following me, wherefore shall be to the ground. How then should I hold up my face to Joab, thy brother. Howbeit, he refused to turn aside, wherefore Abner, with the hinder end of the spear, smote him unto the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asa fell down and died stood still. Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down when they come to the hill of Amma that lieth before Gaia by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. And the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together after Abner and became one troop and stood on the top of an hill. And Abner called to Joab and said, shall the sword devour forever? Knowest thou not that it will be bitterness in the latter end? How long shall it then err through? Bid the people return from the following their brethren.
Well, Ev, it looks like you gave us one extra verse to chew on, but we'll come back to that verse here in a minute. But we find that God was telling us about how this young man was light of foot, and he's chasing after Abner, and Abner says, hey, why don't you just go turn to the right hand or the left? I don't want to kill you. Basically, I'm putting it in easy terms here. And this guy says, no, I'm not going to turn aside. And Abner ends up killing him. And everybody that came to the place stops to pause and reflect because this man was a great man. All right. Our next scripture context is found in 2 Samuel chapter 2, 24 to 28. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 24 to 28. All right. Emily, take us there.
Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down when they were come to the hill of Amma that lieth before Gaia by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon, and the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together after Abner and became one troop and stood on top of an hill. And Abner called to Joab and said, shall the sword devour forever? Knowest thou not that it will be bitterness in the latter end? How long shall it be then, ere thou bid the people return from the following of their brethren? And Joab said, as God liveth, unless thou hast spoken, surely then in the morning the people had gone up, everyone from following his brother. So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and pursued after Israel no more, neither they anymore. And Abner and his men walked all that night through the plain and passed over Jordan and went through all Bethlehem and came to Mahanaim.
And Em, you seem to want us to chew on the Word of God a little extra again tonight. All right. But basically we find that Abner gives us a good strong point here. He says, will the sword devour forever? Yes, it will. Vengeance always seeks vengeance. The sword always seeks a sword. When you seek after vengeance, vengeance is going to come back to you. So there's always a better way. Jesus said himself, love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you'd want them to do unto you. You wouldn't want somebody coming after you in vengeance. Well, then don't go after them in vengeance. Amen. All right, and our next scripture context is found in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 29 to 32. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 29 to 32. All right, Emily, take us there.
And Abner and his men walked all that night through the plain and passed over Jordan and went through Bethlehem, and they came to Mahanaim. And Jacob returned from following Abner, and when he had gathered all the people together, there lacked of David's servants 19 men of Asher. But the servants of David had smitten of Benjamin and of Abner's men, so that 70 men died, and they took up Asher, buried him in the sepulcher of his father, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at break of day.
And so we find here that they took and they had David's men basically in the battle had killed more men than Abner's men. Amen. All right. Now we're going to wrap up this half of the show with our context, which is found in 2 Samuel chapter verses 18 to 32, 2 Samuel chapter 2. Verses 18 to 32. All right, Emily, get a big sweet copy. Take us there.
And there were three sons of Zariah. There were Joab, and Abishai, and Asahel. And Asahel was as light of foot as a wild rose. And Asahel pursued after Abner. And in going, he turned not to the right nor to the left from following Abner. And Abner looked behind him and said, art thou Asahel? And he answered, I am. And Abner said unto him, turn thee aside to thy right or to thy left, and lay these hold on one of the young men, and take thee his armor. But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. And Abner again to Asahel, turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab, thy brother? Howbeit, he refused to turn aside. Wherefore, Abner, with the hinder and fear, came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Achil fell down and died stood still. Joab and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down when they came where were come to the hill of Amnah that lieth before Gaiah by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. And the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together after Abner and became one troop and stood on top of an hill. And Abner called to Joab and said, shall the sword devour forever? Knowest thou not that it be bitterness in the latter end? And how long shall it be then ere thou bid the people return from following their brethren? And Joab said, as God liveth, unless thou hast spoken, surely then in the morning the people have gone up, everyone from following his brother. So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and pursued after Israel no more, neither fought they any more. And Abner and his men walked all that night through the plain and passed over Jordan and went through Bethlehem. And they came to Mahanaim. Joab returned from following Abner, and when he gathered all the people together, they mocked at David's servants, 19 men, and Achil, but the servants of David had smitten of Benjamin and of Abner's men, so that 300 men died. And they took up Achil and buried him in the sepulcher of his father, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab, his men, went all night, and they came to Hebron at break of day.
And so we find here, of course, they decide, because of what Abner said, will the sword devour forever? They find that they all decide to quit fighting, which was the best thing they could do. But yet, David's men had 360 men, 360 men, which are 360, while David's men only lost 19. So definitely a victory for David's men. And now, even though we could have Emily read and wrap up the whole show by going through the whole chapter one last time, 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 32. Tonight, for time's sake, we're going to skip that, and we're going to call it a night on that. So give her voice a little break tonight, but that would be your wrap-up scripture. If you want to read that again, for your own reading pleasure, dear listener, 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 32, and just reread that for your reading pleasure. Amen. But right now, I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number 1, join the conversation, especially at the end of the broadcast, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. In the lives of David and King Saul, other than David or King Saul, which person stands out least in your mind? In the lives of David and King Saul, other than David or King Saul, which person stands out least in your mind? All right, but for right now, we're going to pause to hear a few messages, and we'll be right back with you. Amen.
This is Lynn Colliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm just ready to say heck with life and ready to feel like I'm feeling like I'd be better off 6 foot under.
You don't want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time. Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1 Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right. Come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there. Never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
In the Holy Bible,
we should walk among us and many shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, nation rising against nation, trouble everywhere too. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flame of fire goes down.
Tribulation.
When the seven seals are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound. Lightning streaks from east to west across the sky. God's faithful ones will disappear in the twinkling of an eye. Many are called, but few are chosen. Brother, don't let your heart be frozen. Don't you want to go? This world will be in bondage under Satan's evil power. The Antichrist will rule until that fire will blow you out. When pain and sorrow disappear, and God will wipe away all tears, joy forevermore. I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf, read the book of Revelation for yourself.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flame of fire goes down.
Tribulation.
When the seven seals are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound.
This lesson is 10 toes, 10 horns. To correctly understand portions of the prophetic scriptures, it's necessary that we comprehend certain sections written in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Perfect example of this is the fact that the Old Testament talks about 10 toes and the New Testament talks about 10 horns. The Bible student correctly understands that the toes and the horns refer to the same situation, then it makes for easier comprehending of the prophetic word of God. In the book of Daniel, we learn that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, but he forgot the dream. Daniel, the Hebrew young man, was a captive of the Babylonian government after the fall of Jerusalem, so Daniel was given the task of remembering the dream and also interpreting the dream. In recalling the dream, he saw a large image with a head, two arms, a belly, two legs, and 10 toes. From the top of the head to the tip of the 10 toes, we have the course of Gentile world power. And there's the scripture, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they, 10 toes, shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Daniel 2, 42 and 43 in the King James Version. Now let's take a look at the 10 horns, and we're turning to the last book of the Bible where it plainly says, of the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. That's Revelation 17:12 in your King James Version. So, in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, we see a large image, which is actually God's picture of the course of Gentile world power. And on the 2 feet of the image, we see 5 toes. 2 times 5 is 10 toes, which are actually 10 countries or nations or kingdoms, which are to come into exceeding power in the last days. When we turn to the last book of the Bible, we find 10 horns, which are actually 10 nations, 10 kingdoms, 10 rulers, or 10 political sections of the world, wherein the Antichrist is going to reign when he finally comes into complete dictator control of the earth. So, we arrive at a mutual understanding, it being toes and horns refer to the same thing here. 10 toes are actually a reference to 10 nations, and 10 horns are a reference to 10 nations also. So we see that phrase, toes and horns, are interchangeable and actingly mean the same thing. It's quite interesting in the study of toes and horns because we move out of the early mentioning of the toes into the latter use and meaning of the horns. So we see that the time schedule for God bringing them on the scene is that they might be instruments in the fulfillment of certain segments of Bible prophecy in the culmination of this age. Let's begin, to the last book of the Bible, and please bear in mind the 10 toes and the 10 horns refer to the same and identical because its prophetic meaning is that 10 nations in Europe are going to come together in a loose-fitting union of cooperation for the express purpose of militarily and economically undergirding Satan's Antichrist during the last half of the 70th week of Daniel. Now we've got a scripture. These 10 horns are one mind. They agree. And shall give their power and strength unto the beast. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. That's Revelation 17, verses 13 and 17, of course, in King James Version. In other words, we see 10 toes go over the book of Daniel, and the we see also 10 horns in the book of Revelation, and they continue to exist together into a loosely fitted cooperative union, although they actually retain their national identity. This was prophesied in the book of Daniel where it said, here's the scripture for it, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they, the 10 toes, shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Daniel 2 and 43. In other words, what this verse is actually saying is that these 10 toes, 10 nations overseen by a prominent head, a leader, will retain their national identity. That is, they not conceal as one force or one supreme power, but will actually function as 10 nations, because the scripture plainly says they shall not cleave one to another, but will be a prime military and economic force in the days of fulfillment of the prophecies relative to the culmination of Gentile world power. We see that the Old Testament and the New Testament scriptures actually pour into the same mold of interpretation and understanding because of the ancient Hebrew scholar Daniel. Wrote about 10 toes, John, writing in the 1st century A.D., talks about the same situation, but he calls or identifies them as horns. These 10 horns, who in the closing days of the church age are going to be formulated in Europe, and then in the last half of the 70th week of Daniel will prove effective in undergirding Satan's Antichrist militarily and economically. Finally, those 10 toes and 10 nations are going to wage war against the idolatrous woman of Revelation chapter 17, because the scripture plainly says, "And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire." Revelation 17, 16, King James Version. In other words, if you look at the 17th and 18th chapter of the book of Revelation, you will see there a great ecclesiastical system identified as a woman, and the Bible says the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now, that's Revelation 17 and verse 18. Destruction is to come upon this woman in the 18th chapter of Revelation, and God will permit the 10 toes, 10 nations, to become aroused and incensed against her in the end of the 70th week of Daniel, and she is to be destroyed primarily by the force of the 10 nation confederation. In the 18th chapter, we see the city destroyed. This destruction is brought upon the woman by the 10 horns of Revelation, who are actually the 10 toes of the book of Daniel. We further know that the 10 nation confederation is to reach its peak last half of the 70th week of Daniel, because we are told this group of nations will fight with the Antichrist against Jesus Christ when he returns to the earth at his second advent. Please bear in mind that Christ's second advent takes place at the close of the 70th week of Daniel, and among the nations of the earth who are to be congregated around Jerusalem awaiting the momentous event will also be the Ten Horns Nation Confederation. Now here's your scripture again. "These ten nations shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful," Revelation 17, 14. In other words, these ten nations, each overseen by one ruler, a total of ten rulers, are to collaborate with the Antichrist as he prepares to oppose Jesus Christ at Armageddon. This is further substantiated in the same chapter next to the last verse where it says, "For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their nation a kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled." That's Revelation 17, 17. As this ten-nation confederation assists the Antichrist, they will be in the front lines of military assistance when Christ returns to the earth in person. He's coming back with the armies of heaven. He's coming back as God's dictator. He's coming back in great and mighty power, followed by the armies of heaven. Let's share a few verses of scripture with you pertinent to this very situation. Please bear in mind, as Christ descends from heaven, followed by a great and mighty army from heaven, as he approaches the earth, he is met by the Antichrist, as well as the Ten Horn Confederation of Nations, plus the armies of the world. This is what the Word of God says. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Revelation 19, 11 through 16 in the King James Version. This is a brief summary of the descent of Christ from heaven to the earth, met by the forces of Antichrist with the Ten Horn Confederation of Nations actively engaged in the military maneuver, which we commonly refer to as Armageddon. When we compare scripture with scripture, as we are doing, though one person may talk about ten toes, in other words, ten horns, yet in the final analysis, it refers to the same group of nations, or nations, outlines the complete course of their world history simply because the entire books of the Bible were written by one author, the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it has one continuing account of events in a progressive manner. That's why you can compare scripture with scripture, allowing scripture to interpret scripture, and if human conjecture is left out of the process entirely, the ultimate outcome of interpretation will be accurate and according to God's overall directive will. The ten toes are the same as the ten horns. Daniel saw them as toes, and John saw them as horns. We know in the book of Daniel that the ten toes come out of the Roman Empire. In Daniel's writings, it talks about the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. This fourth kingdom is put forth in Daniel 2, verse 40, and then out of this fourth kingdom, which was actually the Roman Empire, came the ten toes, which were part of potter's clay and part of iron. In other words, when Gentile world history runs its course from the top of the head which was the Babylonian Empire, down to the 10 toes of the image that would be the end of the Gentile world power. Then 10 toes came out of the fourth kingdom, which was Rome. This all explained in the second chapter of the book of Daniel. Now, when we get over in Revelation, we carefully look at the 10 horns, and we see the 10 horns are the revised Roman Empire. That is, those 10 nations will arise out of the geographical location which originally comprised the Roman Empire. So, the 10 horns of Revelation are not the revived Roman Empire, but the revised. Believe me, there is a vast difference. So in Daniel 2, we see the 10 toes coming out of the Roman Empire. In Revelation, we see the 10 toes also coming out of the Roman Empire. In other words, these 10 nations will come into prominence, and they will be located geographically within the confines of the original Roman Empire. In other words, as we study the 10 toes and the 10 horns, we see a close relationship between them. What you see for one group, you observe for the other. Relative to the Antichrist, the scripture must emphatically declare he will make his appearance before the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel. If he didn't, he would be guaranteed 7 years in the Middle East, according to Daniel 9, verse 27. So he must appear before the 7 years begin, during the first half of that seven-year period that Israel rebuilds her temple, because in the middle of the seven-year period, after the temple has been completed, the man of sin goes into the temple to declare himself God, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 in the King James Version. It will be during the first half of the 70th week of Daniel that the 10-horn confederation of nations will reign on the earth, and they will reign independently, each one keeping its national identity, and they'll not be subject to any centralized head or control. Yet when the Antichrist becomes energized in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, the Satan's power, seat, and authority, to the extent that he is Satan, operates unhindered, then he will assume the control of the 10-horn confederation of nations, and they will be subject to him because he is to rule the entire earth for the last half of the 70th week. This is confirmed in verse 13 of Revelation chapter 17. Then these 10 horns, 10 rulers, have one mind, agree, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast, Revelation 17, 13. In other words, when the world system moves into the realm of the concluding 42-month segment of the 7-year 70th week of Daniel, where the 10-nation confederation will become totally under the authority of the Antichrist, that's why they're going to give their power and strength unto the beast. God is going to cause them to do that, and the leaders of those 10-horn nations will be willingly subjection to the Antichrist, even throwing the weight of their 10 nations for his support militarily and economically. That is confirmed in Revelation 17, 17. Therefore, as we observe the world system, especially casting our prophetic eyes toward Europe, we see a slow but sure assembling of nations into a confederation, which at this particular time greatly resembles what we believe the 10-nation confederation will be ultimately. It's true there is a jockeying back and forth among the nations that make up the strong industrial giant in Europe, but we must remember that all action, political, military, economic, and otherwise, will fall into its rightful place at the proper time because God's overall plan must come to pass exactly as written in the Bible. Sometimes we poor humans become nervous, we bite our nails, and we lie awake at night trying to figure out certain situations, but God's directive will must come to pass, because God is God. In other words, the world hasn't run away from God. God is only playing out extra line, such as a fisherman plays out his line when the fish has swallowed the hook and is running with the bait. God's purpose will be fulfilled on schedule. 10 nations are going to become very important in Europe in the days of Antichrist and rise to important power by the time Christ comes at Armageddon. One of the amazing things that I am familiar acquainted with in Scripture is the lateness of the prophetic hour in which we live. First of all, this period of time has been going for almost 2,000 years. All the other probationary periods of time, which we identify as dispensations, are all concluded. Beginning with innocency, begotten by conscience, then human government, which made way for promise through Abraham and his seed, which would follow him. then law, the giving of the 10 laws on 2 tables of stone to Moses and now grace, all the previous periods of time is concluded. So, as I survey the world situation in the light of Bible prophecy, I look at the spiritual thermometer of the heart interest of the so-called body of Christ today. I'm made to realize that we have moved into a certain spiritual condition known as the falling away. That's why I say the coming of the Lord must be near, and the end of the church age is also near. Okay, now, I'm persuaded in my own heart, mind, and soul, we are now living in the final days of the church age. We have moved into that segment of time known as the 10 toes on the image in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Therefore, I weren't true to my convictions, which must be guarded and guided by the word of God, then I would be a false prophet. And I'm not. So I'm going by the word of God and his word only. So don't let anybody deceive you, and don't get your own philosophy. Go by the word of God, and you'll be set. So here's the verse here that we're talking about. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, the second coming of Christ shall not come, except there come a falling away first. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Some people say that the falling away refers to the church falling away from the earth physically. That is being snatched at the time of the rapture. I think that's a far-fetched interpretation. As reference to a spiritual decline, a going down of the temperature or the fervor of the child of God concerning spiritual things. To ascertain such is true, let's examine the average local church body and see how much of them have a high, hot, fervent temperature for God. How many are there for every service? How many churches are pushing on ahead for God? They're expanding. They're constantly beating the bushes and the hedges and the byways, and they're lengthening their arms of outreach. How many churches are really having new birth experiences at each service? New babes being born into the body of Christ because of the preaching of the word and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and the sincere, honest interest in God's word today. Well, I don't think I've seen as much of that as I'd like, as much as I've been in church myself. I don't see people constantly that on fire, but I wish they were. We are now in the time cycle of the 10 toes on the image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and those 10 toes are almost flowering into full maturity. It's rather amazing, but in the body of Christ, I find so many people are completely blank when they talk about the 70th week of Daniel. Simple explanation, because the angel Gabriel came to Daniel in Babylon and announced 70 weeks of years was to be visited upon the Hebrew people and upon the city of Jerusalem. That's recorded in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks of years equals 490 years. 70 times 7 equals 490. Okay, history reveals that 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7, 49 years, was used after the Babylonian captivity in the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. This is recorded in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, and the whole project was overseen by a man by the name of Zerubbabel, who became the governor of Judah during that particular time. From the time the city was repaired and put in a usable condition until Messiah came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey to be crucified, it was 62 weeks of years, or 62 times 7 equals 437 years, or 434 years, and then we add 434 plus 49, and we have a total of 483 years. We further saw that 7 weeks of years was determined for the rebuilding of the wall, and 62 weeks of years from the time the wall was completed, Messiah would come. So we add 62 weeks plus 7 weeks, so we have 69 weeks of years subtracted from the original 70 weeks gives us the 1 week left over, which is the 70th week of Daniel, or the remaining 7-year period. That particular period of time is mentioned, especially in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 21. And we also have it mentioned in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. We have it in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 6. And verse 14, and Jeremiah the prophet calls the same period of time Jacob's trouble. I suggest you carefully read Daniel chapter 9, beginning with verse 24 through 27. So when John gets his vision and records what he heard and saw, we find him talking about 10 horns. And these 10 horns are to become tremendously powerful in that 70th week of Daniel in the first half or 42-month segment. They are to become finally and completely organized as 10 nations, and then in the last 42-month segment of the 70th week of Daniel, they are to cooperate completely with the Antichrist to the point that they are lend their complete support to his cause. You can read that in Revelation 17, beginning with verse 12 through 17. One of the main mental impulses felt by my heart in this prophetic matter is that when 10 nations in Europe do certain things as outlined in the prophetic word, then I'm to be aware of the fact that when Christ returns to the earth at his second advent, he will be opposed by the armies of the world under the Antichrist, but these 10 nations will be there lending their opposition also. This is not an isolated scripture. One tiny verse taken out of context with this thought is guarded from the entire teaching of the Word of God. Daniel plainly tells us in the second chapter of his book where he says, in the days of these kings, Tentos, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Daniel 2:44 in KJV. There's no wishy-washy, back-scratching interpretation involved here. It's a positive statement that the kingdom age rule of God Almighty under his son will be instituted in the days of those 10 kings, which could only be when Christ comes at Armageddon and is opposed by the 10 nation confederation, which will be subjected to the Antichrist at that time. John further confirms this in the last book of the Bible where he says, these 10 toes, 10 horns, shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, Revelation 17:14. So we've seen in this lesson, backed up by the Word of God, presented from a common sense, argumentative standpoint, to show you that the 10 toes and 10 horns are actually the same group of nations, and they're to play a tremendous part in the completion of man's day, immediately before Jesus Christ returns to take Gentile world power from the hands of the Gentile Antichrist and establish a reign of peace on the earth for 1,000 years. Okay, our next lesson will be time periods of Daniel.
And we thank you, Ruth, for that great information about 10 toes, 10 horns, but sounds like someone's a devil. They got 10 horns. And 10 toes, most people have at least those. So at least we found out what the 10 toes, 10 horns were. But at least I don't have 10 horns. Amen. I may need a bag over my head, but I don't have 10 horns. Amen. But right now we're going to pause for a few messages, and we'll be right back with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number 1, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday,
take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Take me to the King.
Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on The Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio. 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, then on Wednesday. It's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang. With great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't let me.
It's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific,
on Friday.
It's not because God's left us. It's because we
Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show. It's where you get Bible college on the air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week. What you really want? The Six Eyes Radio Network.
And glory, hallelujah, we're back, and I want to remind those, call 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. In the lives of David and King Saul, other than David or King Saul, what person stands out least in your mind? In the lives of David and King Saul, other than David or King Saul, what person stands out least in your mind? It's that time. It's open mic time. All right. And Ruth, who do we got with us?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Emily, and me.
All right. Well, we'll start with Emily. Are you there? Emily, do you got your coffee? Do, 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 do. looks like she didn't get her coffee.
Maybe her and the cats decided to go sleep.
All right. Well, Ruth, we'll try you. Now, when we say standing out least in your mind, you may not remember the person's name, but you might remember what they've done. Okay?
Yeah.
So, in this case, the person other than King Saul or David,
yeah,
in that time frame, can you name me one person that stands out least in your mind that you may not remember their name, but you may have remembered something they did or something like that?
I didn't like the Witch of Endor because it says in the Bible that you don't supposed to suffer a witch to live, and she brought up Samuel, and that wasn't right. It wasn't. You're not supposed to bring him up. That's not right. It's like fiancés in the world. It's all stupid crap.
Well, I would have to say one of the ones that show up least in my mind, I don't remember his name, but he was one of the three that broke through the Philistines to get David the water from the Well of Bethlehem. That's what I'd have to say.
Not really sure who the name is, but honey, we could look that up, precious.
Right, but see, that's what I was talking about. I don't remember his name, but I know what he did. There was three of them, so. All right. Now, come on, Emily. Wake up. Get your coffee.
I still think she cuddled up with the kitty. Actually, they're more like cats now.
All right. Well, looks like she didn't get her coffee. She went to sleep. So, at least I got away with the last comment just before, right there at the end, after your thing. She didn't get me for that. Said, yeah, I didn't have to have 10 horns, but I definitely have to have a bag, so. She doesn't get me for that, so that's cool.
Well, you're still adorable.
So, yep, that's where the 10 horns, 10 toes came from. I have the 10 toes, and she drew the 10 horns on the bag because it improved my looks. That's where it was. Now she can't get me for that because she's too busy sleeping.
Well,
all right.
Let her sleep. The freshest, probably busy enough all day with those cats and everything else.
So that's where it is. That's where the 10 horns come in.
All right. Well, anyway, so with that, we'll let you give us a closing prayer, and then we'll close out with our Red Savine song.
Oh, dear Lord, you know all the prayer requests, and you got mail. I don't remember everybody, so just want to praise your name tonight and help us as we all, how would you put it, leave, but we're not without your presence. Your presence is always with us all the time, so we want to praise and love your name and bless you forever. Amen.
Amen. All right, and here we go with our closing song. Amen.
She always was a tomboy. She didn't like the frilly things. She'd rather wear her old flop hat or some faded jeans. Now her mother tried to change her, but I said just let her be. Someday she's gonna grow up and make a real fine lady. Watch her play.